stanza that I'm preaching on is stanza 17, which is Psalms 119 from 129 to 136. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed.
So the title of my sermon is Passion. And I wonder, have you ever talked to someone who is passionate about something? Just think for a moment. In all the conversations you've had, have you had a conversation with someone and it was clearly evident that they were very passionate about this topic? Usually, their face just lights up a little bit differently than just regular other talk. There's a little excitement in their eyes. There's this excited edge to their voice even. And they are eager to share for as long as you're willing to listen. Maybe you have this kind of passion over a certain topic or something or someone. I hear this kind of passion in this stanza, well, actually throughout this Psalm 119, but particularly in this stanza, I can hear and see the passion of the writer. Your statutes are wonderful. There's this praise and adoration. The unfolding of your words speak of this anticipated or excited anticipation. I open my mouth and pant. Longing for your commands is this deep desire of the heart. And this need for connection, make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. And then even on the flip side, there's these streams of tears flowing from his eyes because he looks out and sees that these laws he's passionate about are not being obeyed by the others. And so he has this loving distress full of emotion, yearning that all would know and obey like he knows and obeys. If the author is Daniel, and I really kind of think it is, we know the passion that he held for God. We know this passion was real to the point where he would take risk of a lion's den rather than compromise. Now, passions are strong preferences, even extreme in the interest or in either activities or objects or ideas or whatever it is that we are passionate about. But it is more than just that. There's this strong emotional component that is connected to it, and it's barely controllable in some people who are very passionate about a certain thing. Now, it's different than being interested in. So you can be really interested in something and not passionate for it because you're lacking that depth of deep emotional connection. So, for example, I'm interested in quilting. I enjoy it and I do it a lot and whatever, but I am not passionate about it. But there are quilters who are passionate about it. And you would know the difference talking to me about quilting or talking to that person about quilting. I am passionate about Jesus. And if you ever get in on a one-on-one and you're ready to listen, boy, I can unleash some of that on you. Think of conversations you've had with each other in this room. Can you name other people's passions because of the conversations that you've had with them? Now, some people live in a state of passion overdrive where it actually sort of consumes them. It's all they can talk about. It's all they can think about. That's probably a little out of balance.
because we are supposed to be relatable people. But I do kind of wonder if the psalmist wasn't getting kind of close to that edge where this was an all-consuming compassion or passion of his. But his passion is certainly tangible. Now, I don't know if everyone has a passion for things or for hobbies or whatever it might be, but every Christian should be passionate for God in the same way the author of this psalm is. And I think this passion grows from knowing how much you are loved by God. And the more that you have this revelation of God's love for you, the deeper your passion for God becomes. Loving God with passion means that you have made him Lord of your life, that you've made him the priority in your life, and that you nourish your relationship with him daily, often. You're all in. You are invested. God truly matters to you, and the things of God truly matter to you. And your desire of your heart is to know him more. Now, Jesus told us to be passionate for God when he set this as the most important of all the laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. The Message Bible paraphrases his words, saying, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. Daniel lived this. As a slave in a foreign land, Daniel lived this. Now, in the Bible, passion is best understood as a deep-seated, fervent devotion to God and his will, fueled by our love for God. And what it looks like is an enthusiastic person serving and worshiping and becoming more holy as we embrace God's ways. It's a sustained commitment that impacts every aspect of a believer's life. This passion is often linked to purpose. And there's a scripture that urges believers to run their race with endurance and focus. Our purpose is this, and it's Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Passion often serves as the fuel for fulfilling our God-given purpose. So where passion is the strong personal emotion, purpose is a little broader. It's a long-term vision. It's focused on the serving others and glorifying God. It's the what we do with the passion that we have. Finding purpose often involves discovering and using those special abilities that God has given you, your unique gifts and talents, which many people can't identify in themselves because it's just how they are. They don't see it as a gift. But in fact, it is. God has wired you in certain ways that every one of us has something to offer the kingdom of God. And our purpose is to do that thing. And we know that God has a purpose for us. We read it in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Daniel's purpose was to obey God's laws in the foreign land, thus representing God before the king. Daniel served 5 Babylonian kings in his lifetime. What a sphere of influence that God gave him. And his purpose was simply to love God before them. His passion for God and God's laws was paramount in his ability to fulfill his purpose. Now, the Apostle Paul is another example of someone who lived with a passion for Christ. And as we know, at the beginning of Paul's life, his name was Saul, and rather than serving Christ, he was persecuting Christians because he believed with all his heart that Jesus was a fraud. And he served the one true God with all his heart and was protecting that place up with God in persecuting Christians until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And everything changed. And he realized the error of his thinking, became this very passionate man for Christ who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, sent letters, established churches, and sent letters encouraging them, and those letters we still read and study today. His passion percolated into everything about him, into every relationship he had, into every struggle he faced. And this passion carried him through many hard situations. One of our VBS stories the children will learn in next week is the story of Paul and his friend Silas, who go into Philippi and they're preaching and they offer a good deed to a slave. It all blows up on them. Everyone gets angry because of the goodness of their hearts and because of the message of their mouths, and they get beaten up really bad. And they get thrown into a prison and their feet are put into stocks. And they're in this smelly, dank, disgusting prison cell, sitting on filth, legs stocked, can't move, hearing the moans and groans of other prisoners. And what they do is praise and worship God. They sing their loudest songs, reverberating in this dank, dark prison. It is the most horrible of situations, but their passion for Christ leads them just to sing and praise with authentic, sincere joy and exaltation. They weren't just faking it. That was the heart of passionate people. This passion becomes a driving force in your life, and it fuels your purpose. I'm not sure we can really truly fulfill our purpose without some degree of passion. But when we make knowing Christ a priority, and we learn that God is a good God, and we love him and trust him, we'll discover that this passion for God is a flame that will never be extinguished. It's a light which can't be turned off. It's a love that will never disappoint. Consider then your passions and your priorities, the things that really drive you. How great is your passion for God and the things of God? Now, being passionate for God does not mean that you need to be some crazed Jesus freak running back and forth on the sidewalks, telling everybody, Jesus is the way. Daniel and Paul weren't like that. Daniel and Paul were regular guys, respected by people who didn't even believe in their faith. They were relatable, regular folk. See, being passionate for God is your heart posture and your mind attitude. What drives you, and it drives you to know God even more. This passion also energizes you to do what you believe God wants you to do. If you've ever been in the midst of doing the work of God, you know that it feels light, although there might be many hours spent preparing and working and doing. There's a joy in that work. Doesn't really feel like work because your passion covers that sense of work
and it makes it the desire of your heart. So you're doing something you truly love. Passion is displayed in a strong work ethic and good moral compass. And God can bless and prosper those things. Daniel was raised up to the rank just below the king. This prosperity is available to us, and it's not wealth the world counts. Sometimes it's wealth that God gives us, but more often it's the things that matter most. His passion leads to joy and peace and contentment and a satisfied life. Who doesn't, at the end of their life, want to look back and say, wow, that was a good life lived. I am pleased with what the outcome of my life is. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So let's bring this passion into everything that we do. Frame it in the way that no matter if it's work you're doing for someone else, if it's mowing the lawn, if it, whatever it might be, think of it that you're doing this as unto the Lord. As if the Lord said, hey, could you cut the grass? Hey, could you help with the laundry? Hey, could you do those dishes? Whatever it is, whatever it is. Do it as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 says the similar thing. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. The outcome of our passion. And in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable. Always excel in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the good fight of faith. To fix our eyes on Jesus, to seek the kingdom of God, and to do everything for the glory of God because of our passion for God. Everything else in your life will fall into place. This is living the abundant life that Jesus died for us to have. May the love of the Father, the tenderness of the Son, and the presence of the Spirit ignite the passion of your heart and bring peace to your soul this day and all day.